Behind the scenes, Democrats are mulling the best leader for the party who could win against former President Donald Trump in 2024. Amongst the names of possible contenders, former First Lady Michelle Obama, who's 59 years old, and with her it factor could emerge as a top candidate. However, she has repeatedly denied any interest in seeking office. Some high-level Democrats are rallying to President Biden's reelection, not because they think it's the best interest of the country to have an 82-year-old start a second term, but because they fear the potential alternative, the nomination of Kamala Harris and election of Donald Trump. Other possible candidates include those who previously won the Democratic presidential nomination, such as Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Al Gore, but they fail to address the concerns of some voters who want a younger president, as Clinton 75, Kerry 79, Gore 74.
She's 59?
She's a very, very formidable candidate.
100%.
Huge formidable.
Huge. She's huge.
No, I don't. Is there any indication? Any?
What?
That she's even interested in running?
It doesn't matter.
I don't think there's anything that she's given no indication that she's going to be running. I don't think she's running. I think there's some hope for her to run. I think if you're a Democrat and you're looking at Biden, you're like, all right, buddy, keep it moving, Sleepy Joe. You might, this is sort of wishful thinking, sort of reemergence or renaissance of Obama, and her husband will be in the White House. I don't see it. I've seen nothing of it. She keeps getting pulled in the polls for the top five, top, I just, there's nothing.
If she announced Adam and she was up running against, would you vote for her?
Until I see a candidate that I think is a better candidate than Ron DeSantis, I'm in the DeSantis camp.
And I respect you for that. We talked about that earlier.
Even over Michelle Obama, bro. Like,
but here's my question, Adam. I think there could be a moment, because, bro, think about it. We're the audience, Pat, you, everybody in here. We're not stupid. Joe Biden is not in charge of anything. The real people, the real Democrats that are in part of the Democratic Party, Obama's in there with Hillary and them. I'm telling you right now, if they get scared to a point where they're like, hey, guys, this cat's not going to win. Maybe Newsom's not really the guy. We're going to have to pull the trigger and say, listen, Michelle, we love you. We know you don't want to do it because you're selling out arenas, just talking about God knows what. We need you to run. Why would she say no? They need her. If your husband's like, yo, the party needs you, well, we can make our changes. We can make our policies, make our things. I think she'd say yes, 100%.
Okay. But by the way, first, let's ask this question. The first question is, would you put her at the top of the list on the left? That's the most formidable if she ran.
100%, yes.
Is she above Newsom? Think like a Democrat, not that
I'm
you like or don't like.
100%, Pat. Likeability, her last name.
You agree?
Yeah. I think at the top you have Michelle and Newsom. And if you want me to handicap between the two, I think it's 60-40. And she's 60 and okay. He's 40 on the top two.
Perfect.
And I don't care about anybody else. And stop talking about Kamala Harris. The big money and the DNC want her to go away yesterday.
Perfect.
Kamala?
So,
every time he stumbles walking on Air Force One.
Did you see the story she told about conservatives?
Yeah, she's bad.
When she does that, I have a diarrhea. Like, I have to go to the restroom. But let me go.
I love hearing her talk about space. Yeah. Because space is so vast. That's why they call it space.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Here's a question. If Michelle Obama, did you agree that she is the most formidable on the left?
I don't.
Who do you think is?
Formidable?
Yeah.
I think formidable.
Yes.
You still have to put Biden on the list because he's the incumbent president. Do I think he's a formidable in general? No.
But
currently.
Fine.
But then I would put Gavin Newsom up there.
Ahead of Michelle.
Yes. Michelle's not anywhere even on my top 10 list. Me, personally.
Really?
You might be like, I'm crazy. That's nuts.
And
she's given no indication.
Why, though?
She's done nothing in leadership.
No, hear me out. This is not an indication question. This is a question of, she's African American. She's the wife of Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. She's not really a first lady. She was seen as a partner of Barack Obama. She is strong on the left. They love her. Oprah, Hollywood, music, Beyonce. There's a lot of different things there, right?
She's a dancer.
Okay, so you're not saying whether she's formidable or not. You just don't think she's going to run.
I'm just, there's nothing that's basically motivating me to give two shits about Michelle Obama right now.
Yeah, but that's not the question.
No, I get it. I wouldn't go to a Michelle Obama rally. I don't know what she stands for. She's never led anything.
You're gonna.
She's the wife of a president in my eyes. That's it.
Do you realize, like, even the AV people didn't go to Biden's rally? They left. The audiovisual people that were working the mic, they just left because they said they one's going to be here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play this game with Michelle Obama. Okay. Why would Michelle Obama, if you're sitting there with her, you're at her house, she trusts you, you're somebody with her and Barack, you're having dinner, you and four other people that she trusts, and you say, Michelle, why do you not want to run? She's going to say what? I just want to be a mother. I enjoy being a wife. I enjoy our life.
My money's good. Money's good.
Life is good. Money's good. Mm-hmm. We are living low key. We get to do whatever we want to do. I'm enjoying my years with my husband. We got plenty of, you know, years left in us on what we want to do. I just don't want to do it. Okay. So then you have to go through the concerns. My schedule, So now the other person's got to sell it and say, what if we could put a team together around you where you can still do a lot of things you want to do? But we go out there and do this, and we do a one-term thing right now, because the only reason we do a one-term is because Trump's probably not going to run 4 years from now. Do one term. Let's pick a VP. Let's give the VP to whoever else. Anyways, the conversation about how to sell her to run where she doesn't have to give up the life. Do you sell the supporting cast, or do you sell the history, or do you sell America, Democrats need you? What do you sell? What do you sell to Michelle for her to run?
I don't think you ever go up to somebody like that and say, America needs you, do us a favor. I think you sell her on cause, precedent, and legacy. You'll be the first female president. You will be able to set a chart for a lot of the things that you believed in and you were working on. Do you remember when you cried the afternoon of the inauguration because you said you felt like you were giving up the momentum that you had on the causes? Michelle, you can put all of back on the front burner. You're only 59 years old. And by the way, America needs you to lead this cause. I sell her on cause and legacy.
I think there's gonna be one problem, Pat. It's you know, the only thing, they're not gonna find one picture of her on the internet where she's pregnant.
Here we go.
And that's gonna be one of the problems. I'll put that's the challenge for anybody that's watching. You cannot find one photo of Michelle Obama pregnant online, and I'm telling you right now, that's gonna be a problem where they're gonna go, wait a minute, where are you pregnant?
That's anybody, where you're gonna go with this.
I was just gonna say, people are gonna be like, dude, show me one.
Benny, I know you love these types of
stories. I'm just saying, I'm gonna gauntlet out there.
I'm gonna address the question.
Okay, go ahead.
Even if there's no pictures, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Objectively, we're playing fantasy football, elect the president, you have to be the Democrat captain. Sell me on selling her to do it. I'm picking you as my quarterback.
Selling me to have Michelle do it.
You're talking to Michelle. You're selling Michelle on doing it. Okay. Run, Michelle.
I would say, listen. First of all, the way that it's looking, the guy that's in charge right now, we're gonna lose everything with this guy. You're gonna be the savior of the party. Look what your husband did. Look at your legacy. Look at your family. We need you, because the way that it's looking, guess who's coming back? Trump. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And if you don't like Trump, Trump light is going to be DeSantis. We need you. Your husband needs you. Like,
I think you guys got it all wrong.
I don't think so.
And I'll tell you why. There's nothing to sell her on. Either she wants to do it or she doesn't. That's my opinion.
You don't think her husband has any...
Hear me out.
You don't think Barack Obama...
It's going to be a conversation between her and Obama. And, you know... Hey, you're 6'10". You're a big guy. You should be an NBA power forward. You should work. It's like, yeah, I don't want to play basketball. You're not gonna sell somebody to want to do something. How many sales guys do we have upstairs that work with Value Team? Shout out to them.
Yeah.
Hey, if you do this, you can make this amount of money. I promise, it's the life of your dreams. Yeah, I don't really want to make cold calls. There's nothing that shows me that she has the heart and the fierceness to want to do this. No one has to sell her on this. If she needs to sell herself, or she needs to look in the mirror or have a conversation with her husband, who was the two-term president, and there's nothing that I'm seeing that she wants this. Trump, he fucking wants this. Like him or not, he wants this. Mm-hmm. DeSantis is heading that direction where, you know, behind closed doors, he's like, I can do this. Okay, even Biden had to kind of get pushed into it. He didn't want to run against Hillary 2016. Now there was nothing to sell this time around. He kind of got sold this time. There's nothing to sell Michelle Obama. She either wants it or she doesn't. And in my mind, she does not want this job.
Okay,
she don't want this smoke.
She doesn't want it, Adam. But the reason she is who she is because the Democratic Party's the husband has made her. You would never have known who she was.
This is going to be okay.
You don't think he has no say in this? Like, hey, we need you.
This is going to be very controversial, power. And I hate to do this on International Women's Day.
What?
Okay. Obama's the man. He's the husband. He's the president.
Okay.
She's a first lady. That's it. Melania, hottest first lady ever. I don't need her fucking running the country. Okay? That's it. That's the extent of what I think of Michelle Obama.
Do you think she's more qualified? I disagree with that. And I challenge you to go back and look at the origins of Melania and look at the origins of Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama was not some
model,
hottie communications major at college. She's a lawyer. She was formidable. They were working together in Chicago on things. She's got cause in her heart. And that's why I say cause, precedent, legacy. That's how I sell it.
You're absolutely right that she's not just some Slovenian model that showed up for to be a third wife.
Very
I got
hot,
that part.
Very hot.
Okay, I got that.
To use a hypothetical example.
I know, exactly. I got that part. No doubt. They met in law school. I get it. You either want this fight or you don't want this fight. There's nothing that I see about Michelle Obama that she wants this at all.
Listen, I would bring Ryan Gosling and I would have him stand in front of her and say, What do you want?
Yeah.
And then we would watch The Notebook and we would say, let's go build that White House for you, Michelle.
Pat, you're a percentage guy and I value exact, because you're not, you don't go down Vinny conspiracy lane.
That's not a conspiracy. Find the photo of her pregnant. There isn't one. It's
what
weird.
What are the chances? Not, her electability is high, no doubt, that she wants to do this. Chances.
Wants to?
That she would do this.
Less than 1%.
Like, okay, so you're at less than 1%.
I'm less than 1%.
All right, so you're in Sosnick's camp.
No, it's
that not, she don't it, want this.
No, it's not she doesn't want this. Listen, there are certain jobs that you don't get to choose if you want to do it or not. It's a calling. The conversation is like, okay, when you get a call, say somebody becomes a president and they say, Adam, you're worth $70 million. It's 20 years from now. You're 60 years old. Okay. Adam, I need you to come in and be the secretary of whatever, or I need you to do this. We need your help on this part here. And it's a guy that you respect a lot. And he's done a lot for you. And you're like, dude, I'm married. I got kids. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I need you. This is not a call to ask you. I'm telling you, I need you. So I'm not recruiting you. I'm telling you, you're the right guy for this job. And I know you like the country club lifestyle. I know you've been chilling. I know you like to get on that boat. I know you like doing all this stuff. Totally get it, bro. But America's bigger than you and I, and I need you right now. So when can I get you to come to D.C. for us to have this conversation together? That's the phone call you would get from me if I was the guy there. So if the people she respects, the conversation is, we kind of need you right now. Here's what's going on. There's a difference when you're called versus a job to do. This is not a job. This is a calling. So I don't know. I would take a different approach with her if it came down to it. But at this point of the game, who knows? Maybe if we're all of a sudden somebody out of nowhere like a Mayor Lori Lightfoot could come in and say, I want to be.
Beetlejuice.
Lori Lightfoot's the mayor of Chicago. She's kind of busy
she's not. Got me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe there's a job opening. So let's go to page number 6. Tom, I'm going to give this one to you with what's going on with India. iPhone maker plant, $700 million plant in India to shift away from China. This is a Bloomberg story. Apple Inc. partner Foxconn Technology Group plans to invest $700 million in a new plant in India to make phones, parts, and possibly assemble handsets on a 300-acre site close to Bengaluru Airport, according to anonymous sources. The investment is one of Foxconn's biggest single outlays in India to date and may be used to produce some parts for its nascent electric vehicle business. The factory is expected to create 100,000 jobs and marks a shift of manufacturing away from China. Amid tensions between U.S. and China, India has offered financial incentives to Apple suppliers, and the move away may help the country close its tech gap with China. Tom.
People need to think about India this way. It's kind of the same shape. India is the Texas of foreign manufacturing. They are trying to attract a lot away from California, which is China. That's what's going on here. And Foxconn, so India's government's trying to do that. And Foxconn is hedging a bet because they see risk in China. And they also get a lot of blowback right now from the United States on Chinese manufacturing. This, I believe, is one of the early shots in what's going to be an insane war over the next 10 years economically for the manufacturing center. And there's only one country on earth that has population that starts with a B.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
That China fears, and it is India.
Yep, I've been saying that for, I agree with you. I've been saying that for a minute. I think India is the country they go to sleep fearing the most. Mm-hmm. Because India says, we don't fear you. We don't give a shit what you think about it. Adam, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see that these big manufacturers are moving away from China and everything they've done to steal our intellectual property. I think Modi's been in charge since, what, 2014, give or take. So he's doing his thing out there. And then, you know, the only thing cheaper than underage Chinese labor is young Indian labor.
I mean, you're being right. So,
oh my God.
I mean, he's so being honest.
Sounds like
honest.
India is the new home of cheap child labor.
I mean, he's being
so
honest.
So these companies are not there because they give two shits. They want to make money.
Yeah.
So
it hurts, but it's the truth.
You know, it's cheaper than Chinese labor.
Yeah.
And Indian labor. This isn't the companies coming in running sweatshops. This is the Indian government giving financial incentives for 300 freaking acres and 100,000 jobs. That's pretty freaking meaningful.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Vinny, give us your insight from the AI standpoint.
From the AI standpoint, robots are going to take over that thing in 20 years. 100%. That's all I have to say.
In India?
Oh, yeah. But Pat, speaking of AI, just really fast, I know we have you know, January 6th and all that to talk about. Have you been seeing the fake where they're having Biden speak and it's not Joe Biden and it's
pretty
scary
wild.
As hell.
Deep fakes?
And it's not even it's not a deep. It's on top of a deep fake. It's the voice. If you close your eyes, is so accurate.
Yeah.
I'm saying right now, in 10 years when they perfect it, you're not gonna know who the hell called you and told you to come here or give you this or you didn't say that or you said something racist. It's gonna be a fake AI saying that you said it. And it's gonna be almost impossible to prove that it was you.
I can't wait to meet your fake AI.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's good.
Have you heard him, Pat? Look at him. Is this the
press
right
it?
One?
Mistake. Are you familiar with the 2011 film We Bought a Zoo? The Matt Damon picture. ScarJo is in it as well, although her performance isn't anything to shake a stick at, if I'm being honest.
Like, come on.
It was directed by Cameron Crowe, the fellow who made Jerry Maguire. Show me the money. Anyway, so I was watching We Bought a Zoo a few days ago because it came up on my Disney
Pat,
Plus.
If they perfect that,
after I finished an episode of that,
if they perfect that, how much better does that sound than I like being in a pool with kids and they rub on the leg and on my leg? Like, what the? That sounds presidential.
Well, by the way, that could help him in 2024.
100%.
By the way, all he has to do is go like this. He has to go like, can you see my mouth? What I'm saying? As long as they can't see my mouth, you just be like, go like
put on a mask.
The microphone has a giant
another pandemic comes, put on the mask.
By the way, did you see what the mayor of New York said, Adams?
No.
With all the camera when they're catching these guys that are going in with Eric Adams, that they're going in with masks on. What? He says, moving forward, we have to remove masks in New York because we can't catch criminals anymore.
Are you kidding me? How funny. Exactly. How funny is that? How freaking funny is that?
These what are you talking
Mayor
about?
Adams, robbers have been wearing masks for years.
Mayor Adams to New York City shoppers, drop that mask to prevent
that's
robberies.
So
Mayor Eric Adams telling shopkeepers,
good
bar customers,
I mean, brilliant,
who refuse to lower their masks.
To enter,
you would think this is a Babylon Bee story, but it's not. Who is this, by the way? New York Times.
Oh my!
Can you zoom in so we can see the logo at the top? It's a freaking New York Times story.
Oh my! Like what a flip! And Pat, think about it. You know what? COVID made me realize, especially.
California, the old gray lady.
Yo, you know what? COVID made me realize what mask in California. It was never really that serious wearing a mask inside of a bank. I would wear the whole cover, and I'll nobody. Security's like, yeah, come in. Nobody cared. And then COVID hit. People were like, nah, put on your cover your face. Come into the bank. So it's not even a big freaking deal. Make a big deal out of it.
Did you see, you know how rare it is for Walmart to close stores? You know how rare it is for Walmart to close a store, okay? Walmart in one of their blue cities that they're in, okay, here we go. On Thursday, company spokesperson confirmed two locations in Portland, Oregon. I wonder why.
What?
They're going in there taking products, leaving. You can't do shit about it.
Yeah.
Portland Walmart closures attract national attention. Wheeler, Texas Governor Abbott spars with. And the way they put it, it's like, well, you know, they're having a hard time. But look at this story. Walmart last month announced it's closing two of its Portland stores, but it's drawn a fresh round of attention this week as politicians sparred online over the cause. The detailed giant will lay off 580 employees when the stores close March 24th, according to a regulatory disclosure. Here are five things to know about the closures. Whose article is this, by the way?
There's no single
OregonLive.com.
OregonLive.com. So why is Walmart closing? Some are saying it's because Walmart's not having a lot of business. Some are saying because they're being robbed and they're like, there's no profit in it.
Yeah.
So why is it getting so much attention? They're going back and forth. Go a little lower to see the data on this one here. Go a little lower. So you see Texas Governor Abbott, who took aim at Portland over the issue, saying the closure is what happens when cities refuse to enforce the rule of law.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Portland, Oregon, out of all the cities.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
Right. And Walmart rarely ever closes stores.
I've never seen
For Walmart to say, we quit, that says a lot about your city. Whoever the mayor of Portland is, when you lose Walmart, that's like when you were the coach, when LeBron or Michael or Kobe says, I'm leaving your team. Yeah. How the hell do you lose Walmart?
How do you lose LeBron?
It's like 600 jobs for your guys in your city.
Were they the same as New York and Cali, where it's like under $1,000? They don't give a shit. They're not even gonna stop.
California's lowering it from $1,000. I believe Portland or California is lowering it from $1,000 to $450 to minimize.
Perfect.
But to Walmart, how many people leave with $450?
Yeah. Taking the whole
exactly.
Taking TVs.
Exactly. What is the number? Yeah, they lowered it from $1,000 to $450. I can find the article here.
Yeah,
anyways,
whatever.
Let's go into this next story here. Car debt piles up as more Americans struggle to make car payments. Okay, we talked about this last time, and it created a lot of buzz. A rising number of Americans are struggling to keep up with their car payments. Hello. Indicating financial stress amid high car prices and persistent inflation, the percentage of auto borrowers who were at least 60 days behind on their bills rose 2% from December at 20.4% a year ago, while loan defaults increased 6.2% over January and were up 33.5% over a year ago. Although the high level of severe delinquencies has not led to equivalent growth in defaults, reposition rates have climbed. The number of repossessed cars increased 11% in 2022 compared to the previous year. The rapid increase in auto loans rates to 6.9% in January, up from 4.3% a year ago. That's a 50% increase, by the way, a little over a 50% increase. And high car prices averaging nearly $50,000 have made it harder for Americans to make car payments, with many monthly payments above, what did we talk about last time?
$1,000.
Rising interest rates and high car prices threaten the auto industry, shoot more consumer defaults on their loans. It's coming. It's just a matter of time. Go ahead, Tom.
It's basically here. I mean, we talk about upstream problems and downstream problems. Downstream is you look about a bunch of things. Downstream, the pond is polluted, and the Democrats say, let's make a $1 billion filter and drop it into the lake. Republicans say, let's go upstream, find out what the hell's in the river that's filling up the lake. Well, this is an upstream, downstream problem. Upstream, interest rates have been going up since March of 22. That's when Powell first met the cheerleader. And and so now those are up. And then we saw last week that the average car had gone from $40,000 to $50,000 on average price on a basic low end, you know, good, solid, good mileage, good, safe, basic car with nice features. And this is basically downstream. It's coming home to roost. The repossessed cars is up 11%, but the loan defaults have only come up 6%, but they're increasing. This is accelerating. And if inflation is not under control, this is going to get worse. And as inflation comes down, unfortunately, you're going to see unemployment come up. The people that are in that unemployment in a low line, it's going to come up. So basically, let me translate this for you. If you want to buy a car, you know, hang on for a few months because the price of used cars are going to come down because the supply of used cars has to go up with what's happening here.
Oh, my God. Go ahead, Adam.
Well, we talk a lot about how like college is a scam. Yeah. You know, is college outdated? You know, the government got involved, student loans. We can go on for days. The alternatives rather than going to college. I would argue that the car industry and car loans and car debt is by far a greater scam than college. People are still in the 1980s mindset that you need a car. It's like there are so many alternatives these days to driving yourself into debt. I mean, look at the numbers. 2 out of 3 Americans are paycheck to paycheck. Housing prices are skyrocketing. Foods are inflation. You know, you went to buy an egg the other day. It was like $12 for a dozen.
Done.
The car situation, I've been saying this for years. Everyone knows I haven't had a car for over a decade. What a sham.
Adam.
Yeah.
Go have a family, bro. Yeah. Hurry up. Please hurry up and have kids.
Pat, can you imagine that?
And then can go to the mall.
And then you know what'll happen? And ironically, twist of fate, by the time that happens, I'll have a lot of money in the bank and I'll get whatever car I want.
Well, can you imagine this?
And it's all good.
Adam, right now with kids, like, kids, you want to go to soccer practice? Hold on. I got to get an Uber.
Yeah.
That's gonna
at that point,
I actually
argued with a bunch of my buddies about
it. It's got one of those Florida rainstorms that comes up in 30 seconds.
But yeah. I will give you, obviously, as a single guy, Vinny, a single guy, you have a car. It's easy to. When you don't have a family, you don't have to discuss a set of things. But for the people with families out there, I'll give a case example. A guy I was working with, he was like the handyman in my building where I lived in Miami. He was struggling. He didn't like where he lived. He was living out in Kendall, which is like an outside of Miami. He was
handyman?
Driving. Handyman.
What was exactly his pronoun?
No. He was just a regular old man.
Okay. Just curious. Good go ahead. Dude. Keep going.
Go ahead.
And what he did was he said, you know what? These fucking car prices are insane. I got 2 cars. I got kids. I got this. I got that. I said you're living you're 45 minutes an hour from work because you're way outside of Miami. I said, where do you want to be? He's like, I'd love to live downtown. What did he do? He sold one of his cars. Him and his wife and kid sold one of the cars. Yep. Got it out of his life. Yep. Moved downtown. Now he lived 5 minutes from work. Yeah. He would just Uber to work. Okay, his wife had the car all day. If they needed a car for the kid, they had it. But the point is they figured it out. They weren't like, well, we're a two-family, two-kid person, and now we have 2 cars. That's just cookie cutter. They realized that there's things they could do.
But we saw Marlon Tegren do that. I agree. They did that
Marlon
for a long
Tegren
time.
Marlon Tegren did that?
For a long time.
Oh, wow.
They did that with 1 car, both of them, and they crushed it. It was, and they had 2 kids, so there's ways to do that. But, Adam, the day you have
triplets,
a family.
Triplets.
And the content's going to change when you're talking on the podcast, and you're going to say, Adam, how was your night? Oh, not good.
Night.
Junior didn't let me sleep. I'm on an hour and a half, and you're complaining and grouchy and all. That's when the content's going to get juicy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but
we're not there yet. We
made an ad video yesterday. You guys walked in. I was making a video. Both of you guys saw this thing. This thing's going to be launched here soon.
We'll see.
It's a very interesting ad video that we have to kind of release to people, but not right now. So, anyways, hey, FYI, real quick with Matt Walsh. When Steven Crowder was on, I said, you know, I made a comment about the fact that, hey, what do we, there's levels to the game. What do I need to do to be able to see future family emergencies happening from canceling? I know I'm not at your level yet, Crowder. I called him out and Matt Walsh. And I said, Matt Walsh also did it because today is the International Women's Day.
Yes.
And the guy who wrote and made the documentary, What is a Woman? We wanted him to come and teach us what a woman is. That's why we did it on International Women's. It was a very appropriate day.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you know, Matt Walsh canceled as well last minute, et cetera, et cetera. His team reached out. He texted me. He communicated with me. He is going through it's a private. He shared it with me. I respect him for doing that, for him not to be here. We're looking forward to having him on. Hopefully one of these days we'll have him on to have a conversation with him. I think his work is very necessary. I think what he did got a lot of people to ask questions. And for parents who have girls, I think he did a major service to a lot of families to produce that documentary, What is a Woman? It was one that he got a lot of hate for. I respect him for it. But this is my style of doing business. For anybody that maybe in the future books us to be on a podcast and all of a sudden can't make it, call me before. Just tell me, can I talk to Pat, the host? Pat, here's what's going on. I don't want it to be bad. Here's what's going to be happening. I can't make it. Because that's what I would do to you.
100%.
If I cannot make it, that's what I'm asking for anybody in the future. If they see it, if they hear it. The same way I don't like onions.
Yeah.
The same way I don't like the smell of onions or shaking hands when people smoke cigarettes. Ugh. This is one of my pet peeves. Obviously, Tom knows nothing about this, but it is what it is.
By the way, if I could just say, just to your credit, I see your schedule. You're flying, you're in, you're out. Like, you're taking time out of your day.
By the way, that this is podcasts. What they don't know. Yeah. You know I'm not supposed to be here today.
I know. You're flying out of town, I think.
No,
today.
No, I'm not supposed to be here today because this is spring break. Because where am I going right after this meeting?
You're going to the Bahamas, aren't you?
I got a flight in 30 minutes.
Your kids are playing on my desk.
I changed the schedule just because of Matt Walsh. Dylan and Tico are right there right now by your desk.
They're playing on my desk
I'm not supposed to be in town today. I was only staying in town for Matt Walsh. So that's the part where... When you're running an 80-hour week schedule, we're not doing this because we're doing this because we're running business as well. But it is what it is. Okay, I don't want to say that, but
it's all good.
I know your schedule is busy as hell.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I don't want to put that out there.
Schedule version of hangry.
All right, so let's go through a couple of different things here that we got to. Let's go to what happened with this trending topic on Twitter, It's
the January
Tucker Carlson is a liar. Oh, it is trending right now on Twitter. It keeps getting more and more. So I'll read the story. I'll show a clip from Kevin McCarthy. I think I just texted it to you. If you have it, please get that ready. And then, Vinny, I'm going to come to you first because you look like you've been chomping.
I'm chomping.
You've been waiting for this So let's kind of go through it. All right.
And you look good.
Tucker Carlson releases exclusive January 6th footage. Says politicians, media light about Sicknick, QAnon, Shaman. Tucker Carlson released this. Pushed by, he says, in January 6, 2021, riots that challenges various narratives pushed by the Democratic-controlled House Select Committee and mainstream media. The footage shows Trump supporters peacefully touring the building, contradicting the news coverage of January 6 that likened the event to 9/11 and the attacks on Pearl Harbor. Capitol Police officers were seen escorting Jacob Chansley, the QAnon shaman, around the building without incident. Carlson reported that officers were seen showing Chansley around, even trying to open locked doors for him. The footage also challenges the narrative that the events of January 6th were a deadly insurrection. Officer Brian Sisnick was seen walking normally while guiding Trump supporters out of the building while wearing a helmet, which contradicts the media narrative that he died of a head injury. So this is this. Now, everyone's saying stuff about Tucker negatively.
Yeah, of course,
Twitter's blowing up. I can't believe he said this. I can't believe he said that. Did you get the clip I sent you about what Kevin McCarthy said?
I don't have it.
Do you have it? If you don't have it, let me just send it to you so you have it. Oh, I texted it to myself. If you go to, let me send this to you. You have to see this. While we're pulling this up, Vinny, why don't you give us your thoughts and then I'll go to Kevin McCarthy.
All right, so, and I want to ask everybody. I want to ask you, Pat, Rob, all the, you know, everybody in chat. What was the reason for the January 6th situation? And mind you, I call it a situation because it wasn't an insurrection. Insurrection is a violent uprising against the government or authority. Let me explain something. For everybody that saw what's happening, especially with Tucker, it was none of that, all right? So, and when I asked why, Pat, why did the people go to the Capitol? It's a rhetorical question. Why'd they go? Because those people thought that the election was stolen from them. Sure. And my question is, Pat, is that such a far-fetched idea for them to think that the left would do something like that, all right? And you know what? The answer is no, Pat. They've lied, the left and the government. They lied about Russia. They lied about COVID. They lied about vaccines. They lied about Hunter Biden. They lied about the border. They lied about China. The audacity to be like, how dare you guys question us? It's like, bro, shut the hell up. And then you have Schumer, it's left and right, Schumer and Mitch McConnell, the alien, going, hey, Fox, don't you dare show this. Pat, why not? Let us see the truth. And you know the people that died, Pat? It was the Ashley Babbitt was one of the ones that was murdered. She was a United States Air Force veteran. Air Force veteran, unarmed. She was shot and murdered by a Capitol Police. That's one. And that Brian Sicknick, who was wearing a helmet, they said was killed with blunt force trauma. He had a stroke. Okay, so it wasn't what they tried to say that it was. These people were there because, you know what? They don't believe the government. And this is my thing. I'm actually not proud, but impressed. You know what? When you have a problem and you think the government is effing with you, that's what you go to the government. You don't burn down your city. You don't kill your own people. You don't burn down businesses in your town. Like, remember, with the riots, people were burning down BLM, Antifa. They burned down their own city. If you have a problem with authority, go to the authority. And from what I saw, Tom, that shaman was walking around smiling, taking selfies, talking to people. They had ropes escorting people into where. And what about
walking slowly, and they would touch him on the shoulder to say, no, this way, and they would open the door for him. He was waiting at doors, and they're like, hang on a second, I'll open this for you. And you're looking at it, it says, wait a minute.
Because
he was wearing that headdress and the fur, the media used that as, this is a psycho person, this is part of the insurrection. But the truth was, yeah, he was wearing a headdress with the fur, but he was walking around.
It looked like a guided tour field trip. And Ray Epps, who Christy, one of our writers in here, wrote about it past. She said insurrection or fedsurrection or one of those things. Everybody thought the guy was an FBI agent. And in court, they showed his text. You know what he told his nephew? He goes, I orchestrated the protests at the Capitol. He goes, I helped people get there. That's that guy that was wearing the Trump hat and was yelling at people to go. This is when we're going to go and we're going to attack the Capitol. And why isn't that guy in jail? If you give 4 years to the shaman guy that was on a tour of the Capitol, but Ray Epps, the guy that was inciting violence, and guess what? I don't trust them. So good for them. They should have, you know what? It shouldn't have happened on January 6th. When they found out these people with Russian collusion, it was all a hoax with Hillary and the government lied. That's when they were late. You guys should have gone there a year earlier, 2 years earlier, and gone and talked shit. So I'm not for violence, but I'm for, if you have a problem with the government, go talk to the fucking government. Don't burn down your own city. That's my point.
Tom, thoughts?
I'm just listening to this, and Vinny, I thank you for your passion. I mean,
thank you.
I was disappointed and shocked, and what came to my mind was they freaking lied to the public about this guy, and they railroaded him.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is, I mean, 3 years.
Four, actually.
And apparently he's got a couple psychomedical issues, you know, and real issues. And so this guy got railroaded. All the footage that we see, now I understand why all the committee members didn't want Fox to put this up, because it immediately shows that Capitol Police and the prosecution took this guy and put him in jail because he looked funny and was walking around with a headdress and it fit the narrative. I was incredibly disappointed when I saw this yesterday.
Look,
just like, there he is.
Look, he's on a tour. Where's the insurrection?
And watch him stop. He's going to come back.
Yeah, and like, dude, the guy was on a freaking field trip that was with roped off and guided around. Like, yes, guess what? There were some hooligans. Every time you get hundreds of people together, look at this.
So look at the cop behind cops, them.
Yeah.
Two cops in the hall.
Let them go in.
And they said that security detail in the orange vest.
Look at this.
Now he's going to walk through here.
Look, the cop behind them. Where's the violence? This guy, dude, you know how many people are in solitary confinement right now? You know how many people are not going to see the light of day?
So let me show this. Can you show me what Chuck Schumer's reaction was to this? It's very different than what Vinny said. I just texted it to you. If you can play Chuck Schumer's reaction. Here's Schumer's reaction.
Yeah.
These lies continue tonight. Rupert Murdoch, who has admitted they were lies and said he regretted it, has a special obligation to stop Tucker Carlson from going on tonight now that he's seen how he is perverted and slime the truth.
Yeah.
And from letting him go on again and again and again. Not because their views deserve such opprobrium, but because our democracy depends on it.
There we go. Let me go. Let me guess.
Our democracy depends on Tucker not showing this.
Let me explain something to you. The threat to
democracy. Yeah, maybe it does. Maybe there's going to be a real insurrection when the people see what's happening.
Tom, here's my question. What is wrong, Pat, with just let me see, I guess the 40,000 hours, they pick just those type of moments. What are you so scared of? What is the fear in letting me see, like, what's happening? It's like the Zapruder film. Well, they're like out of everybody, one guy recorded it. People, the government was like, no, they tried not to show it. Let me see it so I can make my own decision. I don't need Chuck Schumer. I don't need Mitch McConnell to tell me what I can and what I can't see.
Can you play Kevin McCarthy's video? Can you play Kevin McCarthy, what his reaction
is? Because of the footage that you gave Tucker Carlson last night, he went on, said this was a mostly peaceful chaos, as he said. He downplayed Brian Sicknick's death, said it was not related to January 6th, said this was not an insurrection. Do you regret giving him this footage so he could whitewash the events of that day?
No. I said at the very beginning, transparency. And so what I wanted to produce for everybody is exactly what I said, that people could actually look at it and see what's going on.
Good for you. Good for you.
But Mr. Speaker,
portrayal of what happened then? Look, each person can come up with their own conclusion.
Good.
But wanted to make sure is I had transparency.
Do you believe
because I know in CNN, I mean, I had here where you guys actually broke where we were. This was a secret location, Fort McMillan.
Wow.
I don't know if you got concerned by that. I don't even know from point of view of security if we could ever be taken there again. But when you broke that at CNN, that was a real concern to a lot of people. I had a real concern also when I wanted to make sure transparency. Look, the officer's death is tragic, and any time an officer is passed in this situation, I want to make sure they're protected. I want to make sure the transparency is goes forward.
Speaker McCarthy, was this in any way part of the deal that you made to win the speakership?
Wow.
To specifically give the content to
The answer is no. And if you follow, I'm not sure if you were there the times before, I got asked the question in a press. What I would do in the process. I've watched on January 6th committee how it was only politically driven. How on the January 6th committee, you couldn't have, the minority side wasn't allowed to put people on. And I just thought it was fair if someone asked me the question, just transparency. So what I tried to do is be able to release the information, which we'll do to everybody.
It's good.
I worked.
That's, like, I mean, Pat, you know what that is? You know why the left is so pissed off? It's like, how dare you change our narrative that we've been sitting on to try to get Trump not to run again? That's exactly what the hell you're seeing, and good for him. I don't give a damn about what deal he did. That's ballsy, and I love the fact that, Pat, he had an article right in front of your face, CNN giving our location because you guys wanted us to get hurt. So kiss my ass.
Adam.
All right, Vinny, thank you for your passion. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
I actually spent a lot of time watching Tucker last night, watching Hannity last night. I was watching CNN last night just to kind of see different perspectives here. And what is clearer than ever is that both sides are just going to just deliver news that just feeds their base to just drive their narrative, both sides. We all know how easy it is to edit things, and that's not a political statement. So whatever Tucker shows on his show can be edited. Same thing goes for CNN. So I think January 6th, from an overall standpoint, was a very sad and disgusting day and a stain on America. With that being said, I think the majority of people there were just generally there to protest. The shaman and whatever clowns broke into the Capitol, they should be held to the highest extent of the law, period. And if they're in jail for 2 years, 3 years, two months, whatever it is, it's deserved, period. What I'm finding interesting now is that, like, you can say the January 6th committee, sham, nobody on there, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, you know, bunch of Democrats. It's you know, people are losing trust in what the government is, and each media narrative, each side of the narrative is just gonna basically say what people want to say. Like, so I believe, and I'm just gonna use Tucker's words, Tucker doesn't like Trump behind closed doors, but he loves his base. So he's trying to thread the needle of genuinely appeasing the base, but at the same time distancing himself from Trump. His words, you're seeing what's going on with this whole Dominion lawsuit. Like, let's not forget that Fox is going to be dealing with some shit with this Dominion lawsuit and Murdoch and everything they said. And essentially they knew that Trump lost the election, but they kept perpetuating the story. Carlson, his words, passionately hates Trump. Okay, in a number of text messages in November 2020, Carlson said that Trump's decision to snub Joe Biden's inauguration was quote-unquote so destructive. Tucker Carlson added that Trump's post-election behavior was quote-unquote disgusting and that he was trying to look away from Trump. In another text in a conversation 2 days before the January 6th attack, Tucker Carlson said, "We are very, very close to being able to ignore Trump on most nights. I truly can't wait." These are Tucker's texts. Last but not least, Tucker added, "I hate him passionately." Okay, I actually didn't know this about Tucker. I actually thought that he genuinely liked Trump. But again, I think Trump, there it is right there. "I hate him passionately." These are Tucker Carlson words. Don't believe Saz over here? Look it up yourself. Okay, he can't wait for Trump to be out there. But who he does respect and he does appreciate is Trump's base. So Tucker's trying to thread the needle, distancing himself from Trump, and at the same time appeasing the base. And that's exactly what Fox seems to be doing at this point.
But so Adam, January 6th, you're saying one of the most disgusting. You're not on the AOC and all Kamala and all them saying it was compared to 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. Hold on, because I want to make, because I definitely got to. You don't think it was where thousands and thousands of people died and burned and jumped off of buildings? It's took. I hope you're not trying to say, because it was disgusting in your eyes. It was nowhere near that, because that's what they're saying.
So what's your question?
So my question is, I can care less about the Tucker text and all that stuff. We're going. I don't care about editing. You're seeing. You just saw, because you could watch all these videos. It wasn't what they, an insurrection of trying to take over whatever. People were just walking around. And hold on.
I'm trying to get to your question. Yeah.
So who died? Like, what was the
are you asking, do I think January 6th is equal to 9/11? Is that your question?
No, I'm just saying, you think it was disgusting. Why do you think it was so disgusting? Because people were thought that
Benny, what's your question? What's
that people
your question?
Were, like, you think, it was it going too much to go there and just protest and a couple of assholes got out of line? That's what it was. Are you mad about that?
Okay, so
I don't understand your
hang
question.
Hang on. Yeah. So let me go through some of the questions.
Yeah.
So do you compare the January 6th to 9/11 and Pearl Harbor?
Not even close.
Okay, no, he's not there, just so you know.
No, thousands of people died in these fucking things. It's not even close.
At the same time, finish your point. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, it wasn't a proud moment in American history. These are people that should not have been in the Capitol. Again, if you want to go and protest and you want to be out there waving flags, God bless you. Do it. America, do everything. But let's stop pretending that these people were up to no good, okay? Like, this guy, the shaman, should have not been in the Capitol that day. Why was he in there? None of these guys should have been in there.
Adam, okay, so the opposite argument to that would be, during the BLM protests, how many people died?
20 to 30, I think more than that.
What have we heard about it?
You're right.
Yeah.
Two things can be true.
No, but
that the January 6th was disgusting and those protests are disgusting.
No, it's the those
that's,
four.
But that's my point. That's what I'm saying.
I get that. But your point can be your opinion, but it's not the truth. Because you have to give it to data, meaning, do you know how I said earlier, the 4-day work week, you have to have a definition of success. Sure. Let's define success.
Mm-hmm.
Define, give me a specific definition of which crisis was bigger. Based on data, not opinion, data. Comparing three different crises, if we have, how do we define which crisis is worse than the other? Based on what data?
We have deaths.
Hang on. I'm asking him. I'm not asking you guys. I'm asking him.
I'm sorry.
I'll answer any question you ask, but I don't feel like they even need to be compared. They're both shitty situations.
But that's not how life works, though. Listen.
January 6th can be a disgusting thing. And the protests could also be a disgusting thing.
That's not the question, though. Question is the following. I'm going to ask the question one more time. It's a very logical question. There's no emotion behind this thing here, okay? When people compare LeBron and Michael and Kobe, okay, statistically, where does the argument win for LeBron? Where does the argument lose for a Kobe? Where does the argument lose for MJ? So I'll give you mine.
Yeah.
Kobe's field goal percentage was the lowest. It's terrible, okay? Kobe's field goal percentage is not good. To me, he is a good top five best player of all time. I don't put him as a number one or two or three or four, but I have him in top five. That's my opinion based on data. Field goal percentage takes a hit, okay? LeBron James, the greatest human specimen in the history of the league ever. Did he make the NBA product better or worse like Michael made? I don't know. What did he do to the league? The career in the, what do you call it, finals is what? He's 4-1. What's his record? 4-6? Mm-hmm. Some record like that in the finals, right? Okay. But statistically, most points ever, most assists, more rebounds than any of those guys. Field goal percentage over 50%. Better three-point shooter. Pop, 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 pop. Great, right? Michael Jordan, 6-0. All defensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year. Da, 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 da. I mean, I can give you a bunch of different things with him. He played 82 games in a season, I think 10 times or 8 times in his career. His last year when he played 82 games. I don't know if LeBron's ever played 82 games in a year. Maybe one, okay? Those are data. I'm asking data again. Question from you again. What specific data makes a crisis worse than the other? Data.
You know, deaths.
Okay, good. Yeah. I agree. Okay? Yeah. What else? Damage. To the city.
Property.
Property damage. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else can we do? We're coming. Death is one. Property damage. What else?
Death, property damage.
Would you add anything else or those two?
I would add to, I would call it casualties. So death and injured people, people that were absolutely injured. So I would call it casualties, but yes, I agree with property damage.
I mean, those are
how much it affects democracy.
How much it affects democracy?
That was so sounded like a political.
What does that mean, though?
He's trying to get hit.
No, but
hang on. Yeah. If we go based on data, the BLM riots and what they did supersedes January 6th in death, 25-30 to 1.
Yes.
Damage to the city, it's not 20 to 1. It's 1,000,000 to 1.
Yeah.
Because the insurrection wasn't any damage to the local businesses or anything.
Nothing.
The damage in BLM protests, riots in the streets, fires, local businesses getting hit, it's not 1,000 to 1. It's more like, to be honest with you, it could be 1,000,000,000 to 1. It could be 10 billion to 1. The damage to the local business owners. This is data. So for one to be more fanatical, to pin one being bigger than the other, that is propaganda, that is manipulative, that is deceptive. That's the part, the two. In regards to Tucker not liking Trump, I'm not surprised that Tucker doesn't like Trump. I'm not surprised that you think it's like saying, does Anderson Cooper love Joe Biden? Are you kidding me?
Hell no.
You think they like Joe Biden? No. You think any of these left people, you think Rachel Maddow goes to sleep saying, oh my God, I can't wait to correct the way that my picture of Joe Biden is in my office when I walk in. No. They don't like Joe Biden. They can't stand me. For every one text of Tucker Carlson saying, I hate Trump, there's thousands of texts on the other side saying, let's get this freaking whatever leader out of here, Biden, because he's making it horrible for us. Let's set that part aside. They have opinions about each other, and Trump's not one that Tucker likes. Fine. All I'm saying here is this was overly promoted by people calling this worse than 9/11 terrorists, all this stuff, to put fear into people and divide America, and they won. They did. Yep. And they wanted to push this guy out, Trump, to make sure he never could run again. Those are fanatical things to be saying, okay? Mm-hmm. Fanatical things to be saying. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying here. I'll give you the final thoughts. We'll go to the last topic here.
Everything you said is accurate. No doubt. Here's where I would like to at least draw a line between your argument and my argument. If you're going to compare the riots or everything that happened during COVID, I think it's unfair to compare them to what happened on January 6th, and I'll tell you why. Compare those riots to the LA riots in the 90s. Compare those riots to what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. And January 6th, different situation. Compare that to what we just saw happen in Brazil. Compare that to what we just saw in that coup attempt in Turkey 5-6 years ago with Erdogan. To me, those are the comparisons. You did this, so you did this. That to me is an unfair. This is my opinion.
Okay, and you can have it.
Yeah, it's
fine.
So that's where I'm comparing it.
And Pat, because I know you want to say something.
What was the worst?
But wait, no. But you can't say that. You can say that. Mm-hmm. But that just because you said doesn't make it right. Okay, if you're committing crime, robbing store, running out with Louis Vuitton and all these other bags, and nobody's doing shit to you, this guy's going to be in jail for 4 years. That's a life-changing thing for this individual. He's going to be there for 4 years. How many of those guys got away with it? What are they doing to them? It's okay.
You're right on that.
But that's where you, you know, like, for example.
But you must admit.
When laws come out, let's just say we're starting a country, you and I, okay? And we're sitting there saying, Tom, can we get a board and let's get a paper and pen? Let's write the crimes on the board here. All right, rape. How many years should rape get? All right, pedophile, how many years should he get? All right, selling drugs. Well, weed, I don't know. Well, how about if you smoke it? That's fine. How about if you distribute it? What's the age? Hey, how about cocaine? Oh, cocaine. How about fentanyl? Hold this. How about I'm selling Vicodin? Boom. And then how about you kill somebody? How about you have a gun that's illegal underage? How about if a 27-year-old is caught with a 16-year-old girl? If you go through these things, what are we going to do? We, as leaders, have to decide which crime is bigger. Okay? Which crime is bigger? Okay? Stealing from property, whatever. Dude, you cause billions of dollars of damages to local businesses that are creating jobs for black communities. Black communities, your own communities, BLM. And you're saying this is worse than that? Really? based on data? No, there's levels to crime. Here, one person, one is one too many. Over there, 25, nearly 30. The damage is not even close. Yeah, there's ways to measure. And it's easy to gaslight. It's easy to confuse. It's easy to say, no, how could you do that? How dare you? You're a racist, this, that. Just because you call somebody racist, bigot, whatever, doesn't make your argument stronger.
I agree.
All it does is gets others to be like, that guy's pretty emotional. Gets the people that want to say, he is. You're right. That's true. No, it's not. Here's data, folks. You effed up, okay? So who's the bigger damage to America? So don't sit here, you know, saying these guys are the worst thing ever since 9/11 Pearl Harbor, which is not you. Not saying you said that. A lot of the people who voted in said that.
Yeah.
They have to realize the comparison of those two with data, Adam, catastrophic difference.
And Pat, what one of my points was, the FBI, and that's why they were showing the Ray Epps guy. If Adam, the FBI was in there and had ground agents pushing people to go in, because I saw the Ray Epps guy broke down the barrier with these people and made them go. Mind you, the same FBI that fucking lied to us, sorry about my language, about Russia and gave us a four-year, dude, I lost friends, I lost Russia collusion. That same lying Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, FBI, all these corrupt pieces of garbage, now they're on the ground telling people, push, no, inciting a riot, Pat, you're going to jail. How is Ray Epps still walking around, but the goddamn guy that's wearing a ferret on his head that was walking around is going to jail for 4 years? So if the FBI, by the way, FBI has been dropping the ball forever and they're involved doing shit like this, good for them, bro. That's all I'm going to say. That's it.
All right, cool. By the way, this was good. The audience gets to say, Pat, you have no clue what you're talking about. Vinny, relax. Or okay. Adam, you're full of it, or one of us is right.
And okay. Tom, you know about biz. You get it.
Okay, if we had to do one last story, is there anyone you really have a strong opinion on to wrap up with?
Megyn Kelly. I'm sorry, Kellyanne Conway's single.
Is that the one you want to wrap up
no,
with, Tom?
I'm joking. I love her. Kelly, I love you.
Do you want to do Cotton with Garden? Do you want to do Hannity with DeSantis? Do you want to do Kellyanne Conway?
I love you, Kelly.
Do you want to do Ford allows you to lock your car if you don't make your car payment? They lock you out. Do you want to do TikTok 60 Minutes? Do you want to do AOC against? Do you want to do Ramaswamy rips Trump? Pick one of them, guys. Do you want to do Joe Manchin blasts Biden? Pick a story.
J.J. Redick.
You want to do J.J. Redick?
Do you really, Adam?
Really?
Yeah, let's hit it.
Are you being serious?
Sure.
Play the clip of J.J. Redick.
And here we go.
Blaze the clip of J.J. Redick if you got it.
Do you want to frame this? This is a conversation.
Why don't you frame it?
Yes, please.
Go ahead and frame it.
I'm a big NBA fan, and anything NBA, I know a lot about. Let's just put it that way. I have friends that play in the NBA.
You are a baller. You're nasty.
I used to play ball. So I can go head to toe with anybody that wants to talk about NBA. J.J. Redick, respect what the hell this guy just has done in his career. 6'4 white boy out of Duke, all-time Duke leading scorer. He took Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. to task about some of their thoughts on biasness of race in an MVP race.
Can you play this clip? Just make it bigger. So pause it first. Okay, make
and
it
Adam,
bigger.
So Adam, he basically said, who's the guy in the right? Perkins?
Kendrick Perkins, played for the Celtics.
And what did he say, Adam?
Okay, see,
I don't know. Let's see what he said, but I know what JJ said.
It is an honor to be on this desk every day. It really is. But what we've just witnessed is the problem with this show, where we create narratives that do not exist in reality. The implication, what you are implying, that the white voters that vote on NBA are racist, that they favor white people. Yes, you did. That is exactly what you implied, Kendrick Perkins. That is exactly what you implied. Secondly, hold on.
I did not call. I stated the facts. And you're not about to sit up.
We all know what you implied the other day. We all know what you implied just now. Hold on.
I stated
one
at a time. It's the facts.
It is.
I think so. Basically, Adam, what Perkins was saying is that it's racist because it's a white guy. What is this the third time that he's going to win?
Potentially. He's won two. They're talking about Nikola Jokic, who's the center for Denver Nuggets.
And he was. So he said. Yeah, he said something along the lines that.
In the top three of the MVP race for the last 3 years. He won it the last 2 years running, and he's averaging a triple-double this year.
Yeah.
And essentially the storyline is that white voters prefer to vote for white MVPs over black players, black MVPs.
Yeah.
So, which to me, this is what J-Day is like. J.J. Redick is basically like, dude, you're ridiculous.
Yeah, because the
and
numbers.
And even if you said what Charles Barkley had to say.
God, please.
Charles Barkley went in on Kendrick Perkins. He says, you suffer from ESPN disease. Okay? He says, basically, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're all caught up in this. You know how many white MVPs there have been in the last 30 years?
How many?
Okay, five? I think Steve Nash won it twice.
Yeah.
Jokic has now won it twice, possibly a third time. And I think you got to go back to fucking like the late 80s to Larry Bird.
Larry Bird.
Okay. Since then, Kevin Durant, James Harden, LeBron, KD Harden, Russell Westbrook, Giannis, like the list goes on and on. So, you know, 10% of the time a white guy wins the MVP.
By the way, here's what people have to realize. I don't think people realize J.J. Redick is not a Republican.
No, he's
not. J.J. Redick is not a Trump guy. J.J. Redick trashed Trump just a few years ago. Talking about the fact that waking up in the morning and having breakfast, you should wake up in the morning, have breakfast, and criticize Trump because that's the right thing to do. Yeah. Like, JJ is not, in this, it looks like, well, yeah, you know, he's a Republican, he's conservative, he's this. No, all he's saying is, dude, what the hell are you doing here, man? Yeah. Like, and by the way, if Kendrick Perkins wants to play the racist game, why is the NBA 70% black?
Tell me that.
Why is the NBA 70% black? Mm-hmm. Why, while America is 13% black, why is the NBA 70% black? Yeah. Why does the NBA not have enough whites? While America is 22%, 23% Hispanic, why isn't the NBA have a lot of Jose's playing in it?
Yeah.
How come we don't have a Ricardo Aguilar starting guard for freaking LA Clippers? How come we don't have that a lot? That's racist, right?
Yeah.
No, his logic doesn't make any sense. But by the way, you have to realize that to me, this is my opinion. This is my opinion. I go to ESPN to interview Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to interviewing Stephen A. Smith. While we're going out there, he knows this is, you know, I've done Magic, Kobe, I've done a lot of different things. ESPN comes up to me and they're like, look, I just finished my interview with Ray Dalio. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, Patrick, you can't talk to him about politics. ESPN's asked me to cut the interview.
Wow.
I said, what do you mean? I'm just going to ask, what if he wants to talk about it? Even if he does want to talk about it, we'll cut the interview. So what are you talking about? Yeah, we're going to cut the interview. By the way, if you look at the set of my interview, you'll recognize the set. Go on YouTube, type in Stephen A. Smith with Bette David. You have to see the set.
They won't even let you talk anything
when politics. When you see our set, you're going to know where this set is. Just look at the set.
Wow.
Okay? Look at the set. Look at the set. Click on it. I won't flag it.
Come on, Pat.
You know what set that is?
I see Muhammad Ali in the
back. That's the ESPN set. Go up where you're showing both of us together, like we're all sitting. That's look the one. Go right there. Pause right there.
Yeah.
That's the ESPN. You know that set.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the ESPN set. There's ESPN guys right on this side
watching,
looking at me, saying you can't talk about that.
Wow.
And I'm about to go into it. You can't talk about that. And Mario's like, Pat, I don't know what to do. Mario's trying to tell the guy, let him ask the question.
Yeah.
He couldn't talk. Well, anyway, Stephen A. started talking about politics. I think Stephen A. is in a tough place. And the tough place I think he's in right now, he has sometimes in life when your philosophies outgrow your peers and you become clear about your philosophies, but you're still in a community where your peers haven't outgrown those philosophies of victimhood, all this other stuff. You sit there privately and you have to make a decision. And the decision is this. Man, do I compromise all my friends and the community I'm a part of to
say the truth,
stand up for what I now believe in? Or do I keep these relationships? What do I do? And I think a lot of people, believe it or not, they compromise and they don't want to lose those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy place to be because you immediately become lonely. You immediately go from getting 79,000 likes on Instagram posts to 13,000 likes.
Yeah.
You immediately go from getting, you know, 693,000 views on a first take clip to 173,000 views. And that's a scary thought, okay? And ESPN right now is getting killed. Clay Travis is saying that these guys are going to go out of business in no time. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think they're going to let go of a lot of their lower-level talent. I think that could possibly happen. And if you think about the companies that Disney's willing to sell, this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, I was just going to say, who owns ESPN? Disney.
They're willing to sell it.
Actually, they're shopping it.
Yeah, exactly. Quietly, they're shopping. That's how they divided the companies into three mm-hmm. different categories
yep.
so they can one by one sell them. Okay,
Bob Iger.
Wow. Bob Iger's a genius. So they want to sell ESPN because they've already seen the writing on the wall. But, you know, here's a crazy question for you. What's the opposite side of ESPN? What is the ESPN competitor?
Fox Sports.
I don't know about that.
Like Barstool and all the little ones.
I've never, ever watched. Like, I still, till today, we watch ESPN News. I don't know if I've watched any Fox News sports. Back in the days I used to when it was good, I don't know if I've watched a Fox News sports.
No, it's one of the few monoliths. ESPN, ESPN 2, ESPN News.
Sports Center,
ESPN,
military
and
pack, the
five
top 10.
Regionals.
Yeah.
ESPN is 10 national channels.
FYI.
There's this, nothing like
FYI. We're not going to do it, but somebody ought to do it. It's a wide open space for somebody to compete directly with ESPN. I think there's a marketplace for it because for the fact that J.J. Redick just made a basic comment like that and that video got 15 million views,
yeah.
You know what it tells you? There's 15 million people that would subscribe to your show if you had a conservative, you know, competitor to ESPN. And it's not out there.
Big time.
No competitor.
Yeah. Direct competitors, number one, Fox Sports.
I get that, but look how shitty it is that nobody watches Fox Sports.
What about ESPN, the Ocho? Remember that?
Yeah.
Well. Look at number two. Star Sports.
Who the hell is Star Sports?
Keep going down the list.
Who the hell is Star Sports?
Nobody knows.
Sky Sports.
I'm sure NBC's got to be on this list.
NBC, four. Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going. Sony 10. Never heard of it. Keep going. Eurosport. Okay,
now
great.
Now we're not even American anymore.
Neosport.
Now we're in another planet.
National Geographic.
That's sport. So that's racist.
Animal sport.
That's fucking racist.
Animal sport.
I won't even go there.
Now that's racist. Yeah. Adam's right. Which, Pat? Which
I know, yes. I'm going to get fired.
Pat, to my point, but just really fast, I know we have to go, but what do you guys think Kendrick Perkins' intention was to say something like that? Is it to get eyeballs? Is it to prove a point? Why do you think he would say that? When you know it's false? When he knows it's false?
Can I tell you what?
Please.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you what Charles Barkley had to say, because that's a credible voice who speaks his mind.
Oh, yeah, he don't give a shit.
I don't know too many people that hate Charles Barkley these days.
No, he don't give a
shit. He tells like this.
Yeah.
So he says, argument between Redick and Perkins apparently had been simmering for over a week, and Barkley said that he was happy to see Redick challenged Perkins on his opinion. Quote, unquote, this crossed the line. JJ is the only person to challenge Perk last week, and I'm glad he did it. Because when I heard it first, I said, man, that's got to be one of the stupidest things I had ever heard. Barkley mentioned that race was such a touchy subject when he particularly bothered this about this argument. He added that the MVP analysts often don't analyze MVP races properly because they don't consider it a strictly regular season award. So essentially, Barkley lavished praise on Jokic, the MVP candidate, mm-hmm. again, and credited him for not chasing stats, something that he mentioned should be counted for the MVP stats. This guy, black, white, European, gray, yellow, Asian, I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. This guy, Jokic, is an MVP candidate and deserves all the praise and the acknowledgement he has received.
And Barkley would know. He was in a really heavy-duty MVP race with Michael Jordan.
And he won.
Damn right.
1992.
Pat, look at that with the numbers, yeah. Adam. Let's go, baby.
Let's go. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of laughable. But
So you're leaving.
But if you just look at the stats, Denver's number one in the league. Jokic is the best player on that team. He's averaging a triple-double. Nobody's done that since Russell Westbrook, a black guy that won the league.
Yeah.
So I think this is such a bullshit argument. If you want to talk about front offices being racist in the NBA, that's another topic that we can. That's a whole other segment.
Oh my God! You want to finish it like that?
Come on,
this freaking
God.
Guy.
He's going to the Bahamas.
The tape guy is racist. Yeah, the guy that's wrapping your ankles. Yeah. That guy's
the front office. The general managers I'm talking about. The owners. That's another level.
Oh, here we go.
Pat, we're gonna miss you.
Well, it's gonna be great. Man. I'm gonna miss you guys as well. But I tell you, this is. We'll talk to audiences. There's a group of PBD podcasters that'll say, man, I only want to see home team.
I heard that,
too. You guys talk, Sheldon. Yeah. And there's those that want to see the interviews and people that come in. But it's a different story when we're sitting here shooting the shit, having a home team type of a conversation.
I love it.
We have a lot of fun doing that. And we appreciate you for doing the same. Gang, again, this will be the last one. We are finalizing right now whether the event will be on the 6th. Thursday, April, or the 7th.
Oh, okay.
Once we finalize one of those two dates, you will get a text probably sometime this week to buy tickets. The last one sold out within 6 hours. If you do want to be on our next live, if you want to just go on Twitter and play the clip to show what the last one was like, even if it's just 10 seconds of it, if you go on my Twitter account just to show what it was like, the last PBD podcast, we had a great time. Sat there, we did 2 hours of podcast, and we did 30 minutes of questions with people going back and forth. We laughed, we joked, we met each other, we took pictures, and then afterwards, those who were VIP came in the back. We had cigars together. We talked for another hour about politics, business, family, a bunch of different things, and a bunch of... By the way, what's the craziest thing? Out of all the people that showed up, we asked the question, how many guys run businesses? Do you remember the number?
Yeah.
80% were business owners. 80%. So if you want to be in a place to network with other guys and talk politics, business, all of that, and laugh, don't miss the next live that we're having. Text the word podcast to 310-340-1132. Again, text the word podcast to 310-340-1132. I'll put it here one more time, 310-340-1132. Text the word podcast. And we will send the link. It'll sell out immediately. And I think this next one that we're doing, we're going to have a special guest with us on this next podcast because it falls on the weekend of the UFC.
Let's go.
So we'll do the podcast. We may have a guest. And then Friday, Saturday, I'm most likely going to the fight on Saturday. We got a lot of crazy things going on. But having said that, gang, have a great week. We will do this again next week. I know it's a Wednesday. Have a great weekend. I know you got some stuff going on this week. Mm-hmm. I know you got some stuff going on this week. I know you got some stuff going on this week. So stay close to us. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Peace.